The following podcast is part of the MindBodySpirit.fm podcast network. Meditation doesn't have to be a solo practice. Meditation is more fun with friends. Looking for a way to drop in and hang out at the same time? Join us online at Omega Institute for a meditation party with self-proclaimed meditation nerds Dan Harris, host of the 10% Happier podcast, Sabine Selassie, and Jeff Warren. This three-day retreat will stream live from Omega's Hudson Valley campus May 17th to 19th. Don't miss the party. Reserve your spot at eomega.org/party today.
Welcome to Truth Transforms. Join in for spiritually enlightening discussion and the practical application of new thought principles. Here's your host, Reverend Galen McDowell.
Welcome to Truth Transforms with Reverend Galen McDowell. I'm your host, Galen McDowell, and I am the executive minister, senior assistant minister, and the director of the Johnny Coleman Institute at Christ Universal Temple in Chicago, Illinois. I know I'm in the midst right now of a series based upon Neville Goddard's Your Faith is Your Fortune, but I wanted to have a show that was supplemental, that I think that would really help you practice these principles that you are learning on this podcast on a week-to-week basis, something that will help support you and others as you seek to not only grow spiritually, but also to manifest the good that you desire in your life. So, I had this inspirational moment to actually bring on a colleague to talk about mastermind prayer. It's a lot of conversations right now around mastermind prayer. So I reached out to the Reverend Valerie McGee, the prayer ministry director, the pastoral care director at Christ Universal Temple, and all the other stuff she does. She sings in the choir and everything else. She does a lot of stuff, teaches in the Johnny Coleman Institute. And that's just the stuff for CUT. So I wanted to bring her on so she can help this conversation because she works so strongly with prayer and our ministry. I thought she would be the perfect guest for this conversation. So how you doing there, Reverend McGee?
I'm doing perfectly fine. How are you?
I am doing well, and I'm happy to have you on the podcast. I know that, you know, when you were on previously a few times, people reached out to me personally, which I told you, and told me how much they really enjoyed you as a guest.
It is my honor.
Yeah, they said, you made it plain. I was like, well, hey, that's what she does. I'm a hardcore metaphysician.
Yeah.
That's what I do. You make it plain. That's what you do.
That's exactly what I do. Okay.
So I
like to break down the words so you get a real good meaning about what it is we're talking about.
Yes, yes, absolutely, absolutely. So, you know, without actually, I don't want to waste any time because I know we both have other work that has to be done on the back end of this. The first question I have is, what is a mastermind prayer or group?
Well, you know, for me, like I said, I like to break down things. So what I did was I broke it down. I said mastermind is a person or it's a spiritual inspiration who supplies the directing or creative intelligence for a project. So then I went a little deeper because then I had to think about, well, what was prayer? And then to put the two together. So a prayer is communication with God and humanity. This communion takes place in the innermost part of your being. So in order to have a mastermind prayer, it is the entity by which the mind becomes a sower, S-O-W-E-R, of a particular direction to bring forth collectively a manifestation of a particular project or result. And then I thought about it, and it came to me, we become what we think.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's how I broke down a mastermind prayer.
All right, beautiful, beautiful. So when people ask about a mastermind group, from the perspective of, we've seen them at CUT for years, so decades. You know, people here have their own mastermind groups together. I used to teach a mastermind class for many years as well. And out of that class of various versions of it, I think the first one was like 108 people, something like that. They developed their own groups that still go on to this day, 10 years, 12, 13 years later, which is amazing. So when people come together under the definition that you just defined as a group, you know, of 4 to 6 people or whatever, how does that look? What does that look like? A mastermind group.
Okay. So a mastermind group, I had to go back to scripture, Matthew 18:20, where Jesus said, "For where two or more are gathered in my name, there I am in the midst of them." You see, a mastermind group focuses one's attention on the steps of the mastermind, which is prayer and communion with God. And it is not so much focused on what that individual particular life is doing. Okay. It can help, yes. But when you have a mastermind group, you are collectively aiming at producing a change in your mind. And that could be about a project itself, or it could be about changing your thinking about how you achieve your projects as well.
All right. So based upon your history in working with people in ministry for so many years, is mastermind prayer effective? And if so, you know, and if so, why?
It is. And what I like about it is because like I told you before we even came on the air, I have my mastermind prayer sitting right on my nightstand. Mm-hmm. And one of the things that happens is that when you read it, it causes you to react to it. Like the first step that says, "I surrender." Well, what are you surrendering? Are you surrendering your ideas and your thoughts, or are you surrendering saying, "God, I need help. I don't know how to make this work." So yes, it is effective because it changes whoever is involved in the mastermind prayer to change their own thinking and get so much and to get out of that ego part, but to get into the spiritual part of what it is you're trying to do.
Yeah, I love that. Get out of the ego, because I think that's one of the main challenges.
Yeah.
And we're trying, when people are trying to evolve spiritually, we tend to get in our own way.
That's right.
We want to do things our way. We want to think our way. Feel, believe our perspective, our opinions, our paradigms, our context. And, you know, we forget the Isaiah 55:8-9, "My thoughts are not your thoughts."
That's right.
"Neither are my ways your ways. As the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my thoughts higher than your thoughts, and my ways higher than your ways." And I think that's a perfect scripture for the mastermind concept. I need to get out of my own thoughts. My thoughts have got me, thoughts have got me to where I am right now.
If it wasn't for your thoughts, you wouldn't be needing to do it a different way in the first place, because obviously your thoughts weren't working, right?
Absolutely.
So it's one of those things that you have to just like take a deep breath and surrender.
Right.
Knowing that there's a different and a better way to do it if you go to the source and ask it for help.
Okay.
The difference.
One of the things that, before we move on to the next question, one of the things that I thought about after you said yes to this last night, I was thinking about Napoleon Hill.
Mm-hmm.
And how he brought this concept, he gave it a name. People have been doing this for years. He gave it a name in the book, The Law of Success, and then more famously in Think and Grow Rich. And how he was teaching business people who, and other folks who just wanted success.
Mm-hmm.
They didn't care about, a whole bunch of religious stuff. They like, "This works. I'm going to do it." So we just need to get together in mental harmony, and we can have a divine download of creativity, ideas. We can create opportunities just by coming together in like mind. Let's do it. Mm-hmm. So I ended up having this thought, this is many years ago, when a much younger man, when I was assigned to Dr. Dennis Kimbrough for a men's luncheon. So he spoke over here in the Faith Chapel, and then we had to go over to the banquet hall. And while I took him early before everybody else got, so he could sit down and be ready, et cetera. And I can remember him telling me how when he first wrote Think and Grow Rich, A Black Choice, which was based upon a manuscript that Napoleon Hill wrote,
right,
that he that when he first wrote the book, he was having a challenge initially selling it to Black people, and he wrote it to Black people. He said, Reverend Coleman brought me in over and over again that first year. And he says, and Minister Farrakhan in the Nation of Islam. He says, but he was getting a lot of pushback. He said, but ironically, he said, white businessmen in America said, you tell me that I can figure out how to think and do this mastermind stuff and all this other stuff, and I can develop wealth or be wealthier. Book that guy, bring him in.
Okay. But
they didn't care about anything else other than teach me how to win.
Yep.
And this mastermind process is a process that's being used by some of the highest level thinkers in the world.
Yeah.
And we just don't know it.
Yeah.
It was like amazing. It was an amazing conversation. High level thinkers are doing mastermind practices, literal mastermind practices, all of the time. And we don't even know it.
Because we don't think it's possible.
Yeah.
That's the part. You know, it's not so much that we cannot do it, but we don't think it's possible for us, not only individually, but even collectively. Because we start coming up with all the reasons why not.
Yeah, yeah. And, you know, and when it comes to letting other things interfere with what it is that we're seeking to do. I actually said, I was speaking in Unity Chicago this past Sunday, and I said to them, many people want results, but they don't want to do the things that'll get them the results.
Right. Right.
And the mastermind prayer process has decades.
Yep.
Well, actually centuries, but since it's been called the mastermind process, for the last 100, slightly more than 100 years, when Napoleon Hill coined the term, has been helping millions of people around the world. It's an open secret.
It is.
You know, that, you know, and it's being used in places all the time. So let me just ask you this question. How often should a mastermind group meet?
Well, I did write that down, because what I wrote was, if it's one or two people, then what I did with that was I work with somebody on changing their health status.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. They had had a hospital experience and they wanted to continue healing.
Mm-hmm.
And so in my prayer time, it came up, do the mastermind prayer. And so we did it for something like 4 weeks. We did it 6 days, and on the seventh day we rested. But one of the things that happened was the person I was praying with became stronger mentally and physically, because mm-hmm. they let the words take form in them. They planted the seed that they are stronger than whatever the appearances are.
Mm.
And it made a big difference in even the second and third and fourth time we did the mastermind prayer, they were calling me.
Mm.
Okay.
I've been calling you too.
Yeah. Because it made such a big difference in how they viewed themselves and how they viewed whatever the challenge was. Now, in using a bigger group, like, you can have as many as you want in a group, but I was thinking more on terms of a congregation. If you're going to have a congregation do it, then you need to know what that project is you're trying to get manifested,
mm-hmm.
so that everybody can be on the same wavelength when you get to number six that says, I ask.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So that you can open your mind to receive the divine guidance you need to take that next step.
Yes.
So and for a larger group, I would say once a week. Okay. But like I said, I did it with someone who was working on a health challenge, and we did it for 4 weeks, every day except Sunday.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. When they rested and they did what they needed to do to get themselves together. So that.
I like that. You know, I've been, I have a mastermind group of some friends that I'm in. We meet every couple of weeks.
Okay.
To go through the actual steps. Mm-hmm. You know, the 8 steps.
The steps are awesome.
Eight steps of the mastermind consciousness. Yeah. Without reading them, could you at least give people the 8 steps?
Oh, sure.
Not the detail, but just what the 8 steps are.
Okay. The first one is I surrender.
Okay.
I believe. I am ready to be changed. I decide to be changed. I forgive. I ask. I give thanks. I dedicate my life. Those are the 8 steps. Because what you're doing is you're making it personal for your consciousness to change. You're opening yourself up to move past the fears, the doubts, and the worries, and all those things that keep telling you, no, you can't.
Right, right.
And so that's the whole purpose of it. The mastermind prayer becomes personal. No matter what the project is, no matter what it is you're trying to do, it becomes personal to you because you are letting go of your fears, your doubts, and your worries about how something can happen.
Yes, yes. Now, I do want to give credit where credit is due. In the New Thought movement, as far as I know, the person who made the mastermind prayer really universal in New Thought was the Reverend Jack Bolin.
Yes.
He was a friend of Reverend Coleman's.
Yes.
At a church outside of Detroit, Michigan.
Yep.
It used to be called Church of Today. Now it's called Renaissance Unity.
Okay.
And so I do want to give a shout out to them. I've spoken at that church many times. And they actually produce a mastermind journal every year. And I use that journal. My group and I actually purchased the journal. You know, we sell them right in the bookstore every year. You know, and we use the prayer. So the 8-step structure. Yeah. And the statements that has come from it has been adapted through the year. So it's different versions out there floating.
Right.
But on a year-to-year basis, one of the things that I would highly recommend, and this is not a plug because I'm not getting any money for plugging it, neither are you, but their journal is excellent. And it's a year long. It's something to do every day that you can use this mastermind process, you know, and create a group. Yeah. Little or as many. I like the sweet spot personally when I'm working on personal projects of 4 to 6 people. I think it's a sweet spot.
Yeah.
So the meetings don't go that long.
That's right.
But you know, for those who are out there, I'm sure, you know, if it might be one floating around, I don't know if you can catch one. If not, you have to get the 2025 edition. But you can contact Renaissance Unity in Michigan for that process yourself. I don't want to speak for the ministry. You know, but I do think that it's important to recognize that Reverend Jack Bolin, who was a very great friend, not a good friend of the founder of our ministry, Reverend Coleman, was a big believer in this process. And his church was the main church that. Right. And then when Reverend Coleman saw it, she took it and ran with it.
Yes, she did.
She ran with it. We did a lot of projects where we prayed through getting stuff done. Before we take this quick break, I just wanted to remind you, remember when Reverend Coleman had the church pray that it wouldn't snow in December because we wanted to build the elementary school and we had the roof on the building?
Yeah.
That's when we were having harsher winters, you know, in Chicago.
Yeah. Yeah.
And, you know, once you get around Thanksgiving in Chicago, all bets are off
when it
comes to snow.
Right.
We were praying on a daily basis, and then we would come in on Sunday and we would pray about it. And when the roof finally got put on, I remember Reverend Coleman saying that some little boy came up to her and said, "Reverend Coleman, will you allow it to snow now?" he wanted snow.
He wanted to play in some snow. Yeah.
You know, but you know, people say, "Oh, that's just a coincidence." Mm-hmm. But I love happy coincidences that work my way.
But again, it goes back to what I said in the beginning. We become what we think.
Yes.
So if you're thinking about it and you're bringing it in your mind, then you're going to produce what you're thinking.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So we're going to take a quick break here, Reverend McGee, before we come back. I do want to let people know that you have a prayer day for Christ Universal Temple coming up on May 3rd?
May 4th.
Excuse me. I'm not in front of my calendar.
That's okay.
May 4th at 12 p.m. Central Time.
Yes.
If they even, and it's live stream, so people can watch anywhere around the world, and it'll be online after that. You can go to our YouTube page, which is CU Temple, or our Facebook page, Christ Universal Temple. I don't know if it'll be on both at that time. And I know it'll be on the YouTube page because it'll be in the Faith Chapel. So go to the YouTube page, CU Temple. If you're not local, if you're local in Chicago, you want to come for this experience. The lesson is the Mother's Prayer.
Yes, it is. And what it focuses on is the Reverend Dr. Johnny Coleman, who was the mother of this church.
Mm-hmm.
And what she did was, what we want to concentrate on is what a mother's love looks like.
All right.
Okay, because that's what she gave us.
Yes.
She gave us a lot of mother's wit.
Yes.
And she brought it, and she ran this church just like a mother would. She really did.
Mm-hmm.
And so it just became very apparent that we understand exactly what she taught us because we're still doing it.
Yes.
That's what mothers do.
Absolutely.
So that's how come it became so important to entitle it A Mother's Prayer.
All right.
That's what she did. She prayed for us.
So if you want, you definitely want to hear that lesson. So make sure you plug in for that prayer day. Make sure you're in the house or online.
Yes.
Make sure you get that blessing. So with that, we're going to take this quick break and we'll be right back with Truth Transform. Back to Truth Transforms, Reverend Galen McDowell. I'm interviewing Reverend Valerie McGee, the director of our prayer ministry and pastoral care at Christ Universal Temple, and we're talking about the mastermind prayer process. So, Reverend McGee, you've been giving great answers already, but let me see if I can squeeze a few more great answers out of you. So, so my next question is, what type of people should be in your mastermind group?
First sentence, people who want to change. You see, people who set goals and want to collectively achieve those goals are the people who should be in that mastermind group. People interested in improving their life, their world, and their affairs, because that's exactly what you do when you let go of how you think it's supposed to be done and get that inspired inspiration that'll come to you when you tap into that mastermind.
I like that. I like that. You know, when I thought of this question, I heard Les Brown saying, "You got to be hungry."
Yep.
You're like, how bad do you really want to change?
That's right.
How much do you really desire a better life, a better experience, a better whatever?
Yeah.
Because when you're hungry, you move differently.
Yeah.
You do. So, you know, I like those Snicker commercials where when a person, you know, they're hungry, they turn into a different person.
Yeah.
You know, and I know people in my space that when they're hungry, they get a little grouchy. They get a little mean. You know, they don't turn, they're not the same person. Once they eat, they tend to cycle down. I can remember being a teenager. I was, you know, starting, you know, you get that first job. And I'm a utility clerk at Dominic's Finer Foods, which is now out of business, grocery store.
Yeah.
And I can remember it was one Saturday or early Sunday morning. And it was a lady that was there. And I'm trying to remember, I think she worked in the bakery. I'm not sure. I think it was the bakery. And so the store's not open yet. So you can't buy anything until the first cashier. So you get there early. I, you know, get the carts where you need them, get the store ready to open. And I was speaking to her, and she said, "I don't talk to people before I have my coffee." And that was the moment the first cashier put that, you know, bank into the register, and can she could buy coffee. Yeah. That's when she was able to talk to people. And it just reminded me of people who make excuses not to be happy.
Yeah.
Like, okay, I can't be happy. I can't even be cordial.
Yeah.
Until I have this external stimulant.
That's right.
You know,
there are a lot of people that still do that too. Like, why are you trying to talk to me? I haven't had coffee yet. Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. And, you know, for me, it was like, okay, first of all, Reverend McGee, it made me never want to drink coffee to this day. I don't drink any coffee, no lattes, okay. No nothing. And I'm not saying anything's wrong with coffee. I don't, you know,
so oh, I love
listeners
it.
Out there, please don't take that the wrong way.
I love it.
But to my teenage impressionable mind.
Yeah.
I was like, people are mean if they don't get coffee. I don't want to be mean. I don't want to be disrespectful. And you know, so my brain was like, I'm just leaving that alone.
Okay.
You know, so it's just one of those things that just happens, you know. But anyway. But yeah, I think, you know, the hungry people that really want to change.
Yeah.
I think that does make a difference.
It really does. Because when you get to that point where everything I've tried is not working, and then you surrender. That's how come that first step is so important. You have to surrender your doubts, your worries, your fears, and your aspirations.
Yes.
And your inspiration. Because even though you can come up with a way that can make it work, it may not be lasting.
Mm-hmm.
Until you ask the Father for it, until you mastermind with God about what's the best way to do it.
Mm-hmm. Yes, yes. Now, I know we talked about this already, about how many people should be in your mastermind group. You mm-hmm. kind of touched on it before. But do you have anything else you want to say about the amount of people in a mastermind group?
Yeah, because just because God is who he is in me. I wrote, I think the group size should be left up to the facilitator of the mastermind.
Okay.
Okay. You see, if you are working on a major project, such as a school or expanding facility or undertaking a new expansion of any kind, you should have at least 7 people. And you can expand it to the congregation if you need to, because, say, for instance, the church wanted to add something else to our facility. Okay, and it's not that we may not have the money, but we want to make sure we have all the right parts, all the right pieces that's going to help it work.
Right.
Now, one of the wonderful things I remember is how Dr. Coleman always did the mastermind prayer, and a lot of times people get brand new ideas that come out of it. Okay, such as a home for transformation for women. Okay. Mm-hmm. What is the Jubilee, not Jubilee Showcase, what was Don's, I forgot, we started it here.
You're talking about the Gospel Awards.
See,
I forgot the name of it now.
Yes, but those are the things that come out of masterminding.
Stella Awards, right.
Those are the things that come out of masterminding, because you're opening your mind to whatever it is God has. And how he did it was even more incredible, because it came as an idea and he worked on the back part and then brought it in so that we could have it here first.
Mm-hmm.
See, that's the thing about masterminding. You can open yourself up to a whole lot of wonderful things, but you have to be willing to let it happen.
Yes, yes. It does make a difference.
It does.
You can come up with some big ideas, some
big concepts
just around masterminding.
And I thought about the Johnny Coleman Academy. Come on now. That was part of it too. I mean, you know, it may have started that way, but it's still moving.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. We gave birth to it. It didn't mean we were going to be the caretakers of it forever.
That's okay, it still is working. It's still functioning. It's still the divine idea that was given.
Yeah, yeah. I love the fact that out of prayer, we can come up with these concepts.
Yes, you can.
Okay, we come together and like, man, and it, you know, I was actually, I won't say the person's name because it wouldn't be appropriate. That was Instagram inboxing. We were DMing each other. Another minister okay. that's a part of a different New Thought denomination.
Okay.
And we were just talking about the, you know, the difference between online. I sent her this material about online workers that was put out, I can't remember, by the institute, one of those group, magazines or organizations that keeps track of jobs and wealth.
Right.
Was okay. saying that, you know, like 22, like online workers might be sacrificing maybe up to like $22,000 a year yeah. with, because being around, there's some benefits to being around leadership differently in person versus online.
Mm-hmm.
Everything has its benefits and sometimes drawbacks.
Right.
And one of the things that I mentioned in the messages we're going back and forth was, I find it more effective when a group of people get together in person energetically to come up with ideas.
That's right.
I said, you know, I said if it's
kind of thing, like a think tank.
Yeah. I said, you can do it online. I said, but it's something about being more present energetically
yes.
in person. I said, now, if it's a group of people that's meeting online consistently, weekly, and it's a very small group, it's easier to do. I mm-hmm. said, but when you start talking about really trying to move something energetically,
mm-hmm.
you need that mastermind energy.
Yes, you do.
You got to pray about it. You got to, you know, you got to work through the process. You got to get clear and clean and then allow the divine inspiration to come up.
And you have to believe that it's possible.
Yes, yes, yes. Believe that it's possible is always the issue. You know, I believe, Lord, help my unbelief.
And I pray that several times and I still pray it. I tell people when I'm praying with them to help, Father, help thou my unbelief. See, yeah. I know there's a part of me that knows that all of this is right. There's still that nagging thought in the back of my mind that's trying to tell me no.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So help down my unbelief.
Absolutely, absolutely. Yeah. So I know you shared a testimonial earlier, but do you have any other testimonials of working with people with this mastermind?
Well, I worked with it with myself, too, and I accomplished things that I had been working on for a long, long time. And I actually finished it. That was my bachelor's in business.
Okay.
And music. And the funny part about it was I was just taking classes here and there. And, you know, I figured it's going to take me about 10, 15 years to do it. And then someone told me about an accelerated program. Mm. I finished it in 2 years.
Mm.
But in order to do it, I had to trust the mastermind prayer that I was praying at that time to get it done. So yes, I do believe in. I believe, and I still, like I said, I keep it on my nightstand, and anytime I need to use it, I do. And if I need to work with somebody, I promise you I will send them what I have and we will work through that. So yeah.
You know, I'm just going to put it out there. As the old school New Thought people used to say, in the ethers.
In the ethers.
I need to come up with like a paid mastermind group that we lead people through, like yeah. around the world. Come to Reverend McGee and Reverend McDowell's mastermind group.
We'll
pay to be a part of it.
Yeah. Sounds like a plan to
you
me.
You get the benefit of it. Yeah. Listeners, if that's something you would like, inbox me at Truth Transforms at Reverend Gaylor McDowell on the that's my Facebook page for this show. Okay. Truth Transforms the Reverend Gaylor McDowell. If we got enough people, I can at least go to Reverend McGee and say, hey,
yeah,
and they'll pay for it.
We can work through it. That's it. Okay. Yeah, that'll work.
You know, but yeah, I you know, I think it's important that people hear testimonies of truth mm-hmm. working. And, mm-hmm. you know, as you know, I used to never share my healing testimony of when I first came to CUT. Because I didn't want people getting caught up with, you know, me not doing the medicine and the stuff, et cetera. I had fears that people would only hear that part yeah. and not the part about what I did to get there.
That's right.
But now I realize, and that's what probably for the last maybe 8 years or so, 8, 9 years, I've been sharing it mm-hmm. because I think it's important for people to realize that it's not theoretical.
Right.
You know, And when you're a part of a community, I had the benefit of having a community that supported what I needed to get done.
Mm-hmm.
And when you create a mastermind group, you're creating your own smaller community.
That's right.
That can help you get across the...
And like I said, where two or more are gathered in my name.
Yeah, yeah. So I think it's important for that process. So I'm not going to hold you. You know, we're going to wrap up the show because I think that we've given people a lot.
Yeah.
And, you know, again, you know, you can Google Mastermind Prayers. Again, you can contact Renaissance Unity for there in Michigan. I forgot what city they're in now because they moved from the original location. They used to be in Warren, Michigan.
Okay.
But they're in different they've been in a couple of different locations since then. So I'm not really sure where they are right now. Okay. But I do know that they consistently produce the Mastermind Journal because I get one every year.
Okay.
And it's important for people to be able to have it, literally have that prayer.
Mm-hmm.
Because out of those eight steps, each of those eight steps have affirmations.
Yes, they do.
That you say every day.
Yes, they do.
Help recondition
your commitment to yourself.
Yeah. Yes, absolutely. So you're worth the commitment that Reverend McGee just.
Yes, you are.
And because you're worth it, get that prayer.
That's
work
right.
With it. Pray about who would be good for you to be in a mastermind group with. Just stop and pray.
I promise you, God will give you every single one of those names too.
Yep. And write them down. Don't try to remember.
And write them down. That's right.
Write them down. And then just have a conversation. Have a possibility conversation with the people.
Yeah.
Like, okay, if we do this together, we can produce results beyond what we're doing individually.
That's
by getting in tune with the creative, not only ideas of God, but power of God to produce
it. Right.
So that's the gist of it. So, Reverend McGee, thank you so much for coming on. Listeners, absolutely. Thank you. And my privilege as well. Listeners, if you have questions for Reverend McGee, you can also contact me. I'll make sure she gets them. Just give me an email address or something like that. And, you know, we can go from there. Would you mind them calling the church if they...
Not at all.
So they can call the church at 773-568-2282.
Yep.
If you have questions about Mastermind Prayer, Reverend McGee would be more than willing to take your calls. So thank you, listeners. I'll be back with you next week with True Transforms.
Are you looking for help on your path to healing? I'm Lisa Campion. I'm a psychic, Reiki master, teacher, and energy healer. On my podcast, The Miracle of Healing, I'm going to help you on your healing path. Listen to conversations with leading teachers in energy medicine, quantum healing, and people who have recovered from loss and illness. Whether it's to take care of your own healing or to help other people, this is the podcast for you, right here on mindbodyspirit.fm.